along with that.
I mentioned being filled with the Spirit a lot, and we talk about it. But let's see what the Bible says here.
In Ephesians chapter number 5,
Let's begin reading in verse number 15.
Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 here says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Verse 18 there, filled with the Spirit. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for your day, and thank you again for this opportunity here to open your word and to speak the truth of your word. But Lord, now I do need you. I pray, Lord, that you fill me with your Spirit. I pray you give me your words, your boldness, and your clarity of thought, your wisdom here today, Lord. And we'll give you the glory for what you do, Lord, that is to speak to our hearts. Lord, don't let us leave here the same way that we came in. Let us all seek for that filling of your Holy Spirit, for that power of you in our lives, Lord. And we'll give you the glory for what you do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I know I mentioned being filled with the Spirit quite often, but it is an extremely important part of the Christian life. You may find yourself asking, how do I get filled with the Spirit? How can I be filled with the Spirit? What do I got to do? Okay, what do I got to do? Being filled with the Spirit is possible for every born-again Christian. Not only is it possible, it is commanded of us to be filled with the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit indwells every believer. Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse 13 says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." See, that Holy Spirit of God came in at salvation, and he sealed you with his promise. In Romans 8:9, the Bible says, "Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Hey, if you do not have the Holy Spirit of God indwelt in you, you're not saved. You've not been born again. At the moment of salvation, that Holy Spirit comes and he lives within you. He dwells within you. Hey, to be filled with the Spirit is a command for each of us that's been born again. It is something that each and every one of us should seek for and attain. But it does require some action. It does require us to do some things as far as on our part. It's not an automatic thing. It is a result of being obedient to the Lord. Yes, the Holy Spirit indwells us, but how much of Him do we give Him? How much of ourselves do we give Him? The more of the world that we put in, the less the Spirit has of us. Right? He must increase, but I must decrease. The filling of the Spirit is a continuous activity. It's not a one-time good deal. It's not a one-time do it and it's it. It's a continuous thing. It's over and over and over. It's each day. It's each moment. It is a continuous, constant thing. But let me just tell you this, that the filling of the Holy Spirit is not what some of the Pentecostal churches make it out to be. It's not a lose control of yourself, a temper tantrum that, you know, the Pentecostals claim it is, where they're being knocked to the ground and overtaken with uncontrollable shaking. That's not the Holy Spirit of God. Right? That is the false spirit that Paul's warned about and that we've been looking at on the past few Wednesdays. But he says here, when you're drunk with wine, you'll lose self-control. You're under the control of wine. Right? You're under the control of alcohol. But when you're filled with the Spirit, you're in control of yourself. But God has a vessel to use. God has a clean vessel. Remember, God is a God of order. And being filled with the Spirit means that I am not controlled with anything else. I'm not controlled with alcohol. I'm not controlled with drugs, whether they're... You know, prescription drugs are still drugs, right? Right? And so I'm not under the control of non-prescription drugs or prescription drugs. I'm not under the control of video games or cell phones or anything else. The filling of the Holy Spirit means I am filled with the Holy Spirit of God.
Now, as we read here in our text, the filling of the Spirit is going to produce three things. And these are three things we'll be looking at here. But it's going to produce spiritual singing in verse 19. He says, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's going to produce thanksgiving in verse 20. He says, giving thanks always. And it's going to lead and also produce submission in verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So when we look at those verses, we see nothing there about talking in tongues or speaking in tongues. Right, that is not what we're talking about. Again, that's not what we're talking about here.
In tongues, it's just the language of men. It's just the language that men speak. You may have been in another country or talked to some foreign people from another country. Well, what is your
native tongue?
My friend, what is your native tongue?
Well, I speak English.
All right, I speak English. But some people speak Spanish and French. And there's a whole bunch of different tongues, languages. Again, nothing is said about falling down and shaking and trancing and uncontrollable laughter or any type of losing yourself control in that. Again, that is a false idea of the Spirit. But now here, notice here, before we get going here, in verse 18, he says here, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay, there's no
period there, and so it's leading right into verse number 19. And so he says they're going right into the verse 19. So verse 19 is still part of the context. So being filled with the Spirit, and then the preceding verses 19, 20, and 21 are all the results, I guess you could say, all the results of being filled with the Spirit. So we're going to look at those three points here. So, hey, let me ask you, are you filled with the Spirit? Have you ever been filled with the Spirit? And if you are, if you're filled with the Spirit, then you're going to be doing these three things. Number one, you can ask yourself, are you singing and making melody to the Lord? Are you singing and making melody to the Lord? Here in verse 19, the Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Now, when you're filled with the Spirit, it's not going to stay hidden. It's going to come out. Right? It's going to come out. And one of the ways it can come out is through our singing, through music. God created music and He created it perfect. But the devil has destroyed it. The devil has corrupted music in this world. Music is just destroyed and corrupted. But music that pleases God with a heart and mind that is filled with His Word. If you're going to please God in our music, we've got to be filled with His Word. Right? We've got to take in more of His Word. We've got to fill our bodies, our hearts, our minds, our souls with His Word, the Word of God. Psalm 119:11 says, Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. You see, if the Word of God is absent in your life, that's going to show as well. And the music that you listen to, the music that you sing, that what's inside is going to come out. But whenever the Word of God, you know, the Word of God indwells you, you're taking it in daily, the more and more you fill yourself with the Word, the more His Word is going to guide you in this world, including the music we sing and including the music that we listen to. If our hearts are filled with Hollywood, and if our hearts are filled with TikTok and the world, all of those are the things that are going to come out and that will reflect in our music. God has an opinion on music because He created music. Right? His music is to be, like He says here, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. God created music. And so I'm going to look at a couple of these here. He says, first of all, we're to sing in psalms. Now, psalms is Scripture-based psalms. You say, well, what are some psalms? Well, we have a whole book of psalms. There's 150 psalms that we have right here that God put in the book, so you don't even have to go to the radio or the internet or the TV. We have a whole psalm book right here in the Word of God.
Right? A book of Psalms is the Bible's hymn book. And it's a great thing. I would encourage you to read, you know, there's 31 Proverbs. It's a good thing to read a proverb a day, but it's also good to read from Psalms every day. Right? Whatever Bible plan you have, make sure the Psalms are included in that. In these Psalms, you have every aspect that deals with God's character, every situation in life, times of encouragement. In Psalm 95:1, the Bible says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." All throughout the Psalms, we hear songs that are filled with truths. We hear songs that are filled with theology, with praise. And a Spirit-filled person goes around quoting the Psalms or singing the Psalms, it's not going to have a lot of burdens in your heart. You're going to be more of a happy person. Right? We can go along saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." There's peace in that. "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble." Hey, we all go through troubles, right? The Psalms have the cure for it, the answer to it, God's Word. The Psalm, "A refuge in times of trouble." That's our Lord. Do we turn to the Lord? Are we using Psalms to turn to the Lord and to get us closer to the Lord? Or are we going through other means, other worldly means of music? "Hey, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." The Psalms, hey, they lift us. They encourage us. Hey, your broken spirit, the Psalms are going to quiet the troubled soul. Right? They're going to draw us closer to God. James 5:13 says, "Is any merry? Let him sing psalms." Let him sing psalms. Again, if you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to want to sing the Psalms. You're going to want to get in the Psalms and read the Psalms, and you're going to want to memorize them as well. If you're filled with the Spirit, you will value the Psalms, right? Just read from the Psalms every day. It'll be an encouragement. But then he also goes on and says, not also psalms, but hymns. Hymns. Hymns are songs of doctrine. They could be songs of worship. They could be songs of praise. But they're all addressed to God. We sing hymns, right, as unto the Lord. We're singing unto the Lord. Songs like "How Great Thou Art." Beautiful song, right? "Holy, holy, holy," right? We sing songs about God's holiness, about His reverence, about the glory of God, about the coming Savior, about the risen Savior. They're all in the hymn book. Great hymns, right? Just songs of doctrine, songs of worship. Hey, hold your place here, but flip over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and you'll see here in verse number 16... We'll see here a similar verse here in Colossians 3:16. He says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Right? That's the kind of music we should be listening to. He tells us again, and we should be singing psalms and in hymns, in spiritual songs. Do we know any psalms? Do we know any hymns by heart? Do we fill our days listening to hymns or psalms or spiritual songs or worldly songs? See, that's the difference in walking in the Spirit and not walking in the Spirit. What kind of music are we taking in? What kind of music are we putting into our heart and mind? Do we go about singing hymns throughout the day? You know, I got an app on my phone. We turn it on and listen to hymns, right? Because it's just good. It's just good stuff, right? There wouldn't be very many unhappy Christians if we wouldn't fill our heart and mind with the world's junk. If we put good Christian hymns and psalms and spiritual songs throughout our day, and that too is a form of worship, right? When we're singing and praising the Lord, we can do that through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Chris often talks to us as he's leading songs about noticing the words. Right? He'll point out certain words in the hymns that we sing, and just as a reminder, hey, we're not to just sing through the words and not look at them. There's meaning in those words, and he oftentimes talks to us about that. Say, hey, look at these words. Right? Notice what these words mean. Right? Notice that. So that's good too. But they do not feed the flesh. Right? You notice the songs we sing here in the hymn books. They do not feed the flesh. They glorify God. They uplift God. They prepare the heart for the preaching of the Word of God. Okay? Hey, if your heart is full of pride, that the Word of God is going to have a hard time to get in there. Right? But whenever you're singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and you've prepared your heart for the preaching, right, God has something to work with. God has something to use His Word through the Holy Spirit to convict your heart. In John chapter 4, in verse 24, the Bible says, God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. Turning the lights off, dimming the lights, whatever, and putting that rock band up on the stage, that's not true worship of the Lord. Hey, it's worship of the devil, right? But it's not worshiping the Holy Spirit of God. It's not worshiping the God of the Bible. You know, whenever I was lost, and you know, I was lost for a lot of years, 38 years. And I went to a lot of those concert things, you know. And that's what they did. The same thing they do in the churches. They turn the lights off. They get the smoke rolling. They get the strobe lights going. They get the drums and all that music going. And all that music does is to feed your flesh. And so you'll see a bunch of people at these rock concerts or even country concerts, and they're up there jumping up and down. Hey, that's not the Holy Spirit. And the same thing's going on in the churches. People jumping up and down, raising the roof, jumping up and down. That's not what we're talking about here. Preparing our hearts for the Word of God. So the Word of God can do a work in our hearts. Hey, he also goes on and he talks about spiritual songs in there. As spiritual songs could be testimonies of grace, testimonies of encouragement. They're not just worldly love songs with Jesus sprinkled in all throughout the song. Right? That's not what we're talking about here with spiritual songs. Right? You cannot take a worldly song and then just throw Jesus here and there and think it's going to be a Christian song nowadays. And that's what they do with the CCM music, right? You got the drums going, the rock groups going, and then they just sprinkle in faith and grace and hope and peace and all those words there. They just sprinkle them in there. And then, well, it's Christian music. Well, it's not Christian music. It's feeding the flesh. It's feeding the flesh. It's drawing me more and more in my flesh and in my pride. It's not drawing me closer to God. Not drawing me closer to God. The emphasis is on spiritual. All right, here, spiritual songs. Spiritual is the opposite of carnal. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Now, the songs that you hear on TV or the songs you hear on the radio are not songs that the Scripture is talking about here. These songs, predominantly on the radio or on the TV, are all written and sung for profits. It's all about making money. Right? They do it. They're recorded for profit. They're sold for profit. And that takes the glory of the Lord out of it. That takes all glory of the Lord out of it. So we ask ourselves, what is spiritual songs? Right? We ask ourselves, what are spiritual songs? Well, let me ask you this. What is country songs? What is country music? Songs about country lifestyle. And you say, well, what about Western music? Well, it's about the Western range. If you're listening to country, you're not going to be filled with the Holy Spirit very long. You can't listen to country music and be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. It's not going to happen. Whenever I got saved, music was my hardest thing. Music was the hardest thing for me to let go of. It had a grip on me, right? I really liked my music, and I remember God delivered me from the alcohol. You know, He took that away from me. He took it, but I struggled with the music. I didn't want to give up my country music. I did not want to give up my music, and I remember having this thought. I said, I cannot continue in this music and not be going back to this. It went hand in hand. At least for me, it went hand in hand. Country music, what does country music sing about? Drinking, and my wife left me, and the dog's gone, and hey, all those things, right? But for me, it was, that's what it was. It was a struggle for me. And whenever I let it go, I thought I was doing good. I said, well, I threw it all away, and I said, okay, I'm done with it. And through the Lord's help, but what I did is I thought, well, I can just listen to CCM. I can just listen to Christian music. It's Christian, right? That's what they said. It's Christian music. But, I didn't know that at the time. But once I got more into the Word and through more of the preaching, and I realized that that was not Christian. All they're doing is feeding the flesh. All they're doing is sprinkling words of faith in Jesus in their songs. And there's no desire to bring anybody closer to the Lord through their music. And so fortunately, I wasn't in that very long, and I was able to get out of that. And now I just do my hymns on my phone, right? Just the hymns on the phone. Just stick to the good stuff, and you won't go wrong with that. But spiritual songs are songs about spiritual matters, songs about the Lord, songs about salvation, songs about holy living, songs about godliness, songs about sacrifice, heaven, the blood of Christ. Everything about these songs is going to draw me closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so much of the music today is not drawn on bringing us closer to Christ. It's drawn on filling that flesh. And you know, and even those songs that people get to clap into, you're getting a beat, you're getting a tune, you're getting a beat that goes on with that. But that's not the point of the hymns. The hymns don't do that. Hymns and psalms and spiritual songs, they don't do it. Remember, what are we talking about? We're talking about being filled with the Spirit, right? Being filled with the Spirit. And so God gives clear direction on what is going to take place when we're filled with the Spirit here. And that first thing that He talked about was speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. And here's what I want you to get. It's to the Lord. He says, to the Lord. Our singing, our songs, our song service, it's all for Him. Everything that we do to prepare for the preaching through our music is to be done for the glory of God. That's what we got to remember. Everything, our worship, it's not for us. Well, you know, I like this church because they play this music. It's not about us. Revelation 4:11 says, for thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You see, God created us for His glory. God created us for His purpose. He wants us to bring glory to Him. And our worship is to do the same. It's to draw us closer to Him. In Psalm 33:2, the Bible says, praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto Him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. Psalm 98:4 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Psalm 100 verse 1 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Psalm 104:33 says, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. You see, whenever we start thinking that, well, I can't sing, or this smells good, or I'm just going to sit here in these congregations and not sing because my voice is horrible. Hey, it doesn't matter what we think our voice is. It doesn't matter what the person sitting next to us thinks about our voice. Remember, our voice, our music is unto God. It's unto Him. We're praising Him. We're worshiping Him. So what is God's music? What is the music God's people should listen to? Spiritual music. It should be spiritual. And spiritual means holy. It means separated unto a holy God from an unholiness of the world. And so here's a couple of things for you. Spiritual music is music that is not conformed to the world. Romans 12:2. Spiritual music is music that is not according to the realm of spiritual death. Ephesians 2:1. Spiritual music is music that is not according to the course of this world. Ephesians 2:2. Spiritual music is music that is not according to the desires of the flesh.
Ephesians 2:3. Spiritual music is music that is not according to the vanity and darkened understanding of the old minds. Ephesians 4:17-19. Spiritual music is music that is unspotted from the world. James 1:27. Spiritual music is music that is not in friendship with the world. James 4:4. Spiritual music is music that does not pertain to the former lusts. 1 Peter 1:13-15. And spiritual music is music that does not pertain to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. 1 John 2:15-16. So what kind of music should we listen to? Spiritual music. Spiritual music. So whatever music you might put in a group, but what about CCM? Or what about Southern Gospel? What about this? What about that? So many of those, they take the world's, they sound just like the world. Then they take the beat of the world and they use the music of the world, and all it does is it stirs the flesh. Stirs the flesh, not the spirit. I must decrease. He must increase. God's people are instructed to put a difference between holy and unholy in Leviticus 10:10. So let me ask you now, are you filled with the Spirit today? Have you ever been filled with the Spirit? Hey, our music is going to have an impact on that. And so, number one, we saw there about our music. But number two, we're going to move on here to verse 20. Hey, number two, are you giving thanks always? In verse number 20, it says here, hey, if you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you may have heard it's been said before that a thankful heart is a Spirit-filled heart. One of the most important evidence of being filled with the Spirit is a life of thanksgiving. Are we giving thanks? Are we going through life and do we give thanks for everything that comes our way? Flip back over to Colossians chapter number 3. So this is kind of following the same pattern here with Ephesians chapter 5. But in Colossians chapter 3, look there in verse 17. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." You see, if you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to give thanks. You're going to be walking through and thanking God for everything He's done. Hey, Lord, thank You for the beautiful day You've given. Thank You for the rain that You've given. Thank You, Lord, for the goodness that You give to us. Psalm 92:1 says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord." It is a good thing. We say, well, what about when there's a burglar? Somebody breaks into your car or your house. Give thanks. Praise the Lord. Amen. What about the loss of a job? Give thanks. What about if our house blows away in a tornado? Give thanks. What about if you wreck your car and find out you don't have the right insurance? Give thanks, right? What happens if you have a car and you have a warranty and something breaks and the warranty covers everything? Give thanks. Amen, right? Just give thanks. That's what we're talking about here, is being filled with the Spirit. Right? Being filled with the Spirit. Okay? You say, how can I accomplish this? How can I give thanks? Hey, how can I give thanks with the loss of a loved one? When a loved one passes away and goes off into eternity, we should give thanks that God gave us that opportunity and that time together. But how can I do that? You've got to be filled with the Spirit. That's difficult, isn't it? That's difficult. That's why we got to have our walk with the Lord. Even before those things happen in our life, what is our walk like? Hey, are we reading the Bible? Are we praying? Hey, where are you at? Ankle? Knee? Waist? What depth are we, right? We got to make sure we're having a walk with the Lord. That way, when those troubles come, they're not just going to knock us out. Right? We're going to be having a walk with the Lord. We're going to be filled with the Spirit even when these things come upon us. Hey, flip over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. And look here at verse number 1. Hebrews 12:1, look there where it says, "Let us lay aside every weight."
You see that? Let us lay aside every weight. See, there's things in this life. There's things that are weights to us. They're slowing us down. They're holding us back. He says here, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
You see, how can I give thanks when these things happen to me? We just realize all these things on earth are temporary. Everything here is temporary.
This is not our home. I'm just passing through. Right? And so when the storm washes the car away or the house away, hey, we're safe, we're alive. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Right? We just give the blessing and the thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, we're talking about being filled with the Spirit. Right? This isn't, you know, this is for everybody, but not everybody's going to claim it. It's going to cause us, we're going to have to do some things. It is the result of being obedient to the Lord, being filled with the Spirit. Now, I'm not saying that there's not going to be remorse and sadness that come upon those things. Yeah, those are going to happen. But when we're filled with the Spirit is going to be able to comfort us. What's another name for the Spirit? The Comforter. He's going to be able to come alongside us and comfort us. In John 14:16, Jesus says, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." You see, He'll never leave me nor forsake me. He's always with me. Doesn't matter if in the good times or the bad times. I don't have to worry. I don't have to stress about the things going on around me. I don't have to worry about the storms. This home is not my home, or this place is not my home. I'm just passing through. John chapter 14, Jesus says, "There's a mansion in heaven waiting on me. That's my home. That's my vision. That's what I'm looking at. That's where I'm headed. I'm heavenly. Vision is heavenly minded, not this worldly mind. Because you know what? All these things, they're just going to burn up one day anyway. All the time and all the effort and all the stress we put in, right? You know, and unfortunately, you know, we waste so much time on those things. And they're all just going to burn up. Rely on the Comforter. Give thanks in all things that we do. If you remember, Paul and Silas, they were in prison in Acts chapter 16. They were beaten and put in prison. And at midnight, they prayed and they sang praises unto God. They had just been brutally beaten. Now they're in prison. And this prison isn't like prisons in the United States. Like, these are dark dungeons, very bad places. But they sang and they've sang praises unto God. Why is that? It didn't matter about their situation. It didn't matter about their surroundings. What mattered was is they were filled with the Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit and they just gave thanks in all things. They had their eyes up on the Lord. And thirdly, we'll see here, moving on. Are you submissive? Here back in Ephesians chapter number 5 in verse 21, he says here, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, submission, it means to arrange oneself under another. Submit one to another, okay? It means you're not demanding your own way. You're choosing to lift up others above yourself. Remember, we're talking about being filled with the Spirit. When we're filled with the flesh, what do? We always are looking at us. We're always looking at within. We're always looking at what can I get? Or what's in it for me? Or what are they going to do for me? I'm not doing anything because they don't do nothing for me, right? That is the opposite of being filled with the Spirit. That is to be filled with the flesh. We are to be lifting one another up. In Romans 12:10, he says, "In honor, preferring one another." In 1 Peter 5:5, he says, "All you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility." You see, pride is a horrible thing. Pride is a thing, you know, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride destroys mankind. Pride is our enemy. Pride will destroy us. It'll eat us up from the inside. We need to be submissive, right? The opposite of submissive is prideful. But pride will say this. Pride will say, "Well, I just deserve better. that shouldn't happen to me. I shouldn't have to do that.
But James 4:6 says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Right? We're to humble ourselves. Humble ourselves. Remember, Jesus humbled himself. Great deal, didn't he? Jesus is God, the creator of all things, in a perfect place in heaven with God the Father. But yet he humbled himself for you and I. He humbled himself and he took on the flesh of man and the form of man. And he came to this sin-sickened world for one reason only. He had to even go through the temptations of the devil. He had to go through so many things as our example. But in every single one, you see, he humbled himself. He was never prideful. He humbled himself, even whenever
they were putting him on the cross. He just laid down. Okay. Right. He humbled himself. That should be our example. That should be our way of life. That should be how we live and how we want to serve the brethren. A submission doesn't mean that you think less of yourself, but you think of yourself less. Right? So we're to be outward focused. Outward focused. In Proverbs 9:10, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You notice it there in our text in verse 21. He said, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So how are we going to do this? Well, we got to start by the fear of the Lord. We have to have a certain reverence for the Lord, is what we're talking about. A reverence for who He is. He is a holy, holy, holy God. He is the creator of all things. That is our God. That is the one that we serve, the one that we worship. He created us for His glory, for His honor. And 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, when we truly have a reverence for God and we truly have a fear for God, we won't be so quick to fight for our rights, to fight for what I want. Our pride, remember, our way. This is what I want. You know, Burger King, I think, ruined that, right? They say, have it your way, right? Have it your way, and everything else is have it your way now. No waiting now. But that's pride, right? Pride. But when we are submissive, we'll seek to worship Him, to please Him, to honor Him in all that we do. In John chapter 13, in verse 14, talks about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And He said this, He said, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. You see, Jesus humbled Himself. That was a lowly thing, you know, to wash the feet of all the disciples, but He humbled Himself to give us an example of, hey, you guys need to humble yourselves. When you come before the throne of grace, the throne of God, humble yourselves. You know, you're not as high and mighty as you think you are. We're not as high. You know, God did just fine before us, and He'll do just fine after us. That type of thing. But that's what we're talking about today is being a Spirit-filled Christian. A Spirit-filled Christian will be humble. You're not going to walk into the church and who's going to serve me today? Who's going to do this for me today? Instead, they're walking in and they're asking, hey, who can I serve today? Who can I be an encouragement for today? Right? I want to serve somebody. I want to encourage somebody else. We need to quit looking within and look up to Jesus. And I'm always reminded of Peter. Whenever Jesus put the disciples out on the boat, He went up on the mountain to pray for them. And He said, go to the other side. And they get halfway across to the other side. And then the storm comes and they're out there all night long in the middle of the storm. And I'm always reminded about this. Whenever Jesus comes to them, they're tired. You know, they've been going all day, all night. And Peter gets out of the boat. And they're scared of the storm. But yet Peter has enough faith to get out of the boat, to walk to Jesus. He gets out of the boat and he's got his eyes on Jesus and he's walking to Him. But something happens. He took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to sink. Right. And so instead of And so the example for us here today is if we got our eyes up on Jesus, we can walk on water. But the moment you take your eyes off of Jesus and you look within, maybe that wind, that wave hit his leg or something, and he looked at himself or whatever happened, he took his eyes off of Jesus, and that's when he began to sink. So that's the example for us today. Hey, don't take our eyes off of Jesus. You want to be filled with the Spirit. The Bible's given us some ways that can happen. But when we take our eyes off of Jesus, we will sink every single time. Now, Ephesians 5 here goes on. It goes on some more here, and it's still talking about being filled with the Spirit. And so you get here and you finish out the chapter in verse number 5, or chapter number 5. He's talking about wives submitting to husbands here in verse 22. Now, that is not going to be for the fleshly, worldly wife. That's not a fleshly, worldly wife not filled with the Spirit is not going to be able to submit to her husband. It's not going to happen. Why? Because of this flesh and this pride. She's going to have to humble herself, be filled with the Spirit in order to submit to her husband. It's just not a natural thing, is it, wives? It's not a natural thing. It's a hard thing. But the Bible has commanded the ladies to do that, to submit to our husbands. And then he talks about, verse 25, husbands loving their wives. Again, this is being filled with the Spirit. It's a continuation on here of being filled with the Spirit. Husbands, when we're filled with the Spirit, we won't have any issues loving our wives, will we? We'll want to love her and do things for her and all the things the Bible says we're to do in the reverencing of love for her. But, again, in the flesh, not going to happen. Talking about being filled with the Spirit. He goes on in chapter number 6 and talks about children obeying your parents. Again, this is all a continuation of if you're filled with the world, it's not happening. If you're going to walk with the Lord, have a talk with the Lord, be close to the Lord, and be filled with the Spirit, all these things are going to take place, being filled with the Spirit. Children obeying your parents. And he goes on to end the chapter there talking about the servants obeying their masters and masters treating servants with respect there. But the key of this is it's all filled. It all comes about by being filled with the Spirit. You get that? You got to be filled with the Spirit. And the foundation was laid there in verse 21 when he says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's where it is. You might want to underline that. It's not because, wives, it's not because your husbands are worthy. We're not. It's because we have a reverence for God, we have a love for God, a desire to please Him, to serve Him, and we have a he says here, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So how can I live a life of submission? Let me give you a couple of quick points here. How can I live a life of submission? Well, first of all, it's what we've been talking about, being filled with the Spirit. It's a must. You must be filled with the Spirit. You cannot submit in your flesh. You need the Spirit of God to produce that in you. So you must be filled with the Spirit. Number two, you must keep your eyes on Jesus. Just like Peter, when he got out of that boat, his eyes was on Jesus. Hey, if we're going to be filled with the Spirit, if we're going to be able to do what the Bible says in submission, we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. You take your eyes off, we know what happens. And thirdly, here, we, in order to live a life of submission, we need to do it for God. We need to do it for God's glory. We need to do it for Him, for no other reason. Right? My wife is to submit to me for no other reason but because God says so, for His glory. Amen. And that's it. And whenever she does it for God's glory, it'll come a whole lot easier for her to do than when she tries to do it in her flesh or in her worldly flesh, right? Do it in the Spirit. Hey, even if the other person does never appreciate it, just do it for God's glory. Just do it for the glory of God. So as we conclude here today, we see here Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 tells us that we can be filled with the Spirit. It's not a suggestion. It is a command. We are all commanded to be filled with the Spirit. And he's telling us here that we must be filled with the Spirit. If we're going to live victoriously, if we're going to be able to see some fruit like he's talking about here, it's got to be through the filling of the Holy Spirit. This isn't just for the apostles or the people that wrote the Bible. This isn't just for pastors. This is for all Christians, born again, saved, going to heaven. You have the Holy Spirit in you, and now we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So it's time to quit going through the motions, and it's time to be filled with the Spirit. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord,